Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. And we're going to read it. We're going to read it. And as we read it, I want you to think of the future. I want you to think of this as a prayer to the Lord in future times by Israel under persecution by the Antichrist. So let's read Psalm 10, verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God, for God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, but I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, and under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily, or secretively, privately, set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly, as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong one. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou shalt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. For the Lord is king for ever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. I've read all this psalm because there is a wonderful setting forth here of the troublesome times that Israel in the future will pass through. Now, if you remember, when we looked at Psalm 7, there David was able, by the Spirit of God, to see and to speak of the wonderful victory that would belong to the people of God when the Lord Jesus Christ returned. So, as we began our study of Israel's knowledge of events at the Second Coming, events at the end of this age in Psalm 7, we started, as it were, at the end of all the events. We started at the final page, almost, in the story of what will happen in the future. Now, sometimes, I know, when you're reading an interesting book, a mystery story, there's the temptation to turn over and see how it's all going to end, isn't there? We like to know how it's all going to end. Well, God tells us repeatedly how the story of man is all going to end. We have the Lord assuring us that in the end, he is going to get the victory. Now, he does that for a number of reasons. Chiefly, because such is the trouble that will come and build up and increase as we come near the end, such is that trouble that during it we might begin to doubt that this is going to have a good end. We might begin to doubt, is God really going to get the victory? That happens. during the Second World War, in the midst of it, I was born. Though, of course, I didn't know anything about what was happening in my early days, but I can remember the times shortly after the war ended. I can remember when there was an extreme shortage of food. You could only buy so much bread, so much butter, so much bacon, so many eggs, and you had a ration book. Well, your mother had a ration book. So that if you went into the shop, they would say, "Show me your ration book." "Oh, you bought eggs yesterday, you can't have any today." That's how it was. People are in a bit of a panic today about shortage of food and so forth. You know, how quickly a nation forgets. How quickly a nation forgets. But during the Second World War, in the dark, dark days that there were during the years of the war, 1939 to the middle of 1945, there were many times when the British people wondered, are we going to win? For instance, when very early in the war there was the events at Dunkirk, when the British forces were absolutely overrun by the German powers, chiefly because the army in France was defeated, and the British army now had no support from the French army, and basically it was on its own, and it was driven back to the very coast, to the sea, at Dunkirk. Hundreds of thousands of men. And the people in Britain, seeing this, they must have been shaking in their boots, seeing the British army retreating and, in essence, defeated, and the German army advancing mightily, sweeping all before them. They must have thought, we're going to be conquered. We're going to be beaten. And they would have trembled. And I'm sure many of them prayed. And God answered their prayers. Sadly, and I have watched many documentaries about that particular period in the history of the war, and I have listened closely, hoping that somewhere in the commentary a man would say, the people prayed and God answered prayer. But I've never heard that said. Instead, there's all sorts of military reasons, political reasons, personality reasons as to why Britain was able to evacuate its army in the midst of great trouble, and if I'm not mistaken, get over 300,000 soldiers back again to England. No, the commentators don't make any mention of God answering prayer, but God did answer prayer. God did answer prayer. Now, if Britain had been told, don't worry, in 1945, Hitler is going to die. And he's going to die in his own hands. And Germany will be utterly defeated. And you will be victorious. That would have been wonderful. But they never knew that. And right up almost to the end of the war, there were still doubts as to how it would turn out. For even months before the end of the war, Hitler's forces made a counterattack called the Battle of the Bulge, because the German forces advanced and made a big bulge in the front ranks of the Allies, and they advanced towards the sea. That must have caused consternation and alarm and concern, and people must have said, after all we've seen happen, is Germany still going to get the victory? So there was that whole period of wondering and doubting and fear. But if Britain had been told, don't worry, you're going to get the victory, you're going to win, and Japan will be beaten too and brought to nothing, how wonderful that would be. But of course that was not known. But in the Bible we are told now how things are all going to end. We don't have to wonder, how will it all work out? We look out and we see the increasing rebellion of man against God. the casting away of the Bible and the truth of the Bible, and the rejecting of it, not only by ordinary people, but by even churches, and by governments. We see that all around us, and we wonder, how is this all going to end? The Bible tells us. That's why in Psalm 7, you have David seeing the victory of Christ and him singing. As I said to you, in the midst of his trouble, David was able to sing. Because he knew how it was going to end. He knew it would all work out well. And the victory would be the Lord's. That's a common feature of prophecy. I want to emphasize that. That's a common feature of prophecy. The Lord, whenever he's talking about what's going to happen in the future, he always starts at the end. He always tells the people that he's going to get the victory. He wants to assure them, before he reveals all the trouble that's coming, that it's going to work out well. That's why in Psalm 7, David sees the victory that the Lord Jesus will have. Now here in chapter 10, we see the troubles that will come before the victory. But we can bear with the revelation of the troubles much better, since we know the troubles will come to an end and Christ will get the victory. Let's tell you we experience of my own. It just comes into my mind as I'm talking to you. Some 10, 11 years ago, I caught, or there developed within me, an ailment which had a big long name, myasthenia gravis. Now, I had never heard of it. In fact, my doctor didn't even know what it meant. But I got this, and it affected the muscles of my eyes, first of all, and I couldn't see right. My eyes wouldn't focus. Then my eyelids wouldn't work, and they dropped down, and I couldn't open my eyes. Very alarming. I had to inform the folk who are in authority regarding driving license, etc., and tell them this, and stop driving. Couldn't drive. And it was a worrying time for me. A very worrying time. And then one day I went to see a specialist. And I remember well, he had an office in the new hospital in Enniskillen, and I went in and I sat down and gave him the details, and then he said, let me tell you right away, I have an answer to your problem. You're going to be all right. That was a wonderful relief. A wonderful relief. And that man was right, because after some treatment, I'd say within a month or so, I remember standing up at the kitchen window and looking out the window, and suddenly I realized, I can see clearly. My eyes have focused. This is wonderful. Because the medication given to me had worked. So it's lovely to, at the beginning of it all, he was able to say to me, don't worry, I have an answer to your problem. That was a wonderful relief. Well, this is what God does here in his word. As we look at all the trouble developing around us, and then we look at what the Bible says, that trouble will come to, it's going to increase and get worse. But God says, I have the answer. I have the answer. The trouble is not going to succeed. The rebels are not going to get the victory. I'm going to get the victory, says the Lord. That's basically what we looked at in Psalm 7. But now we're coming in Psalm 10 to look at some of the troubles that Israel would pass through before the victory was given. So as I say, it is a feature of prophecy that God shows you how things end before he tells you how things, bad things, are going to come before they end. I hope you're getting the point that I'm striving to make. You have an example of what I'm saying in Revelation chapter 6, and you older ones can look it up sometime. At the beginning of Revelation chapter 6 is a wonderful prophecy revealed of the last days and the troubles that will come. But the first thing God shows is not the troubles, but the coming of the Lord Jesus. Right there in the verses 1 and 2 of Revelation chapter 6. He shows the coming of the Lord in victory and glory and power. Then, as it were, he turns the pages of the book back a bit and begins to tell the troubles that will come on the earth before the Savior returns. what he wants us to know. It's all going to end well. Boys and girls, your generation is going to live to see troubles on this earth. We see the beginnings of them now. We see the beginnings of them now. The earth has always had troubles. There's always been wars and all sorts of troubles, but it's going to intensify. It's going to increase. And you're going to see something of that, I do believe. But God wants you to know, don't worry. It's all going to work out. I'm in control, and I will deal with the enemy in my time. When it suits me, I'll deal with the enemy. So, that was only the introduction. And I have 3 points to look at this morning. So, we're not going to get to the third one. We're not even going to get to the second one. But let's try and get to the first one. And it is this. Here in this psalm, we have revealed that there is, at the end of this age, a time of great pain and trouble for Israel. Now, I don't think it will just be Israel, but it will be chiefly Israel. I dare say that anybody who will show sympathy or identify themselves with Israel will also suffer in the trouble. If I might go back to an illustration of the Second World War again. The Second World War began when Germany attacked Poland. He didn't attack the United Kingdom. He attacked Poland. But the United Kingdom said, we have a friendly relationship with Poland. We have an agreement with them. And we're going to stand with them. And therefore, Germany attacked Great Britain because they were friends with Poland. Well, I'm sure at the end of the age, while the chief target is the Jew, anybody who shows sympathy for them, friendship toward them, will become a target as well. But chiefly, and this psalm sets it out, it will be a time of pain for Israel. Would you look at it, please, how it begins, the Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Times of trouble had come upon Israel. And here is the psalmist prophetically looking into the future and expressing the cry of Israel to God in that time. Now, what's interesting, and although I've read my Bible many, 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 many times, and might even consider myself to have a reasonable knowledge of the Bible, yet I marvel at how often I come on some little truth that just shows that the Bible's a special book, a very special book. Look again at that verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? That word trouble is the same word that in other places in the Bible is translated by the word tribulation. Tribulation. In Scripture, in prophecy, Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples about the end of the age, and he's telling them that because they asked him about it. The Lord will always give you an answer, you know, when you ask him about such matters. And he says, at the end of the age there shall be great tribulation. Great tribulation. Now, although the disciples were asking these questions, the Old Testament saints already had a knowledge of these things. Oh, not all of them. Nor was this knowledge present amongst the Israelites at all times. But there were times when godly men amongst the Israelite nation throughout the ages were made aware of what was coming. If you turn to Jeremiah was a wonderful prophet. And in Jeremiah chapter 30, he carries us forward into the future. He's speaking to the nation, and as ever, the Lord is imparting through a servant something of what is going to happen to the nation in the future because of their sin. Oh, because of their sin. Jeremiah chapter 30, and we're looking at the verse 7. Alas, for that day is great. Now the word alas tells us that the greatness of the day is not great in joy or great in peace and great in rejoicing, but the word alas tells us that it's great in sorrow and trouble. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. The great tribulation, the Lord Jesus said, was a time the like of which had never been before, nor would ever be again. And here's Jeremiah saying the same, there's none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. And the word trouble there is tribulation. The time of Jacob's tribulation. And of course, the Lord is using the name of his servant Jacob as a title of the nation of Israel. Israel. Israel's another name for Jacob. So when it speaks of a time of trouble for Jacob, it's not referring to the man Jacob, but to the descendants of Jacob. And Jeremiah is warning of the very things that we have referred to here in Psalm 10, the troubles that are coming. When you want to know if you'll soon be going home, what do? Now, I'll ask the teacher. Well, that's what the wee ones might do. But the bigger ones, what would they do?
They'd look at the clock. That's what they would do.
And the clock does show them when they'll be going home. Boys and girls, prophecy tells us that if we look at what's happening to Israel, it's like looking at the clock. Because what is happening to Israel will tell us the time. As the trouble against Israel increases, we know we're getting near the end. We're getting near the end. The Lord will soon come. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Times of tribulation. That signals the approach of the end. Well, that's as far as I'm going to get today. But we'll come back again tomorrow in the will of the Lord. So keep a wee marker in your Bible as Psalm 10. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to every heart. May there be a conveying to the hearts and minds of the boys and girls the knowledge of thy great truth, even that which thou hast plainly set forth, repeatedly set forth in thy word. Bless the school today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.